The word of God says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly. And I just want this morning, you know, what happens is that when, you know, you go through stuff and, you know, when God uproots, you know, when we're doing some, when he does some work in our lives where it's like a weed. We got a weed in our hearts. And it's like when he pulls out that weed, there's a gap that is left there. And sometimes you're wondering, okay, I've got up here and I've said, like, I forgive that person and I forgive myself. What next? I just want to say that now you have to use the word of God in your life and begin to let the word of God begin to come and to saturate those wounds that you had in your life and begin to speak over yourself. Because you don't just do nothing. You probably just have to, let's just say there was no peace in your life where you get super stressed. I mean, and you're really amped. You know, stress is stress, but you're triggered and it seems as if you just cannot relax. Like the deer cannot relax because there's so many things that can get it. Its ears are constantly moving. So now you say, Lord Jesus, I know that you're the Prince of Peace. And so, Lord, I just pray your peace over my life. I accept your peace in my life. And so you begin to use the word of God to begin to, you know, like where that thing was removed, you're soothing it with the word of God. And sometimes what happens, you see, in families and in whatever situation is that we are attacked. And we are attacked when it comes to our identity. And so sometimes people could have used the words, you are this or you are that. You are useless. You are ugly. You are this. And that affects our identity of who we think we are. But also what happens, you see, is that when we don't deal with some of those things that we're supposed to deal with, what happens is that those things then become passed down through what they call generational curses. Now, it's not a hex to say, you will have a frog on your back for the rest of your life. It's not that kind of, you know, Harry Potter kind of curse. Sometimes these things could be attitudes. It could be ways of thinking that are passed down. Because obviously you could have grown up in a situation that was, you know, there was poverty. And all you can do is just begin to pass that thinking down. And so this morning, with every eye closed, we want to break those things. And you're going to have to break those things for your life and your family. Father, we thank you, Lord God, this morning. There is a yoke, Lord God, that breaks, an anointing that breaks the yoke, Father. And this morning, Father, we come against, Father, any attitudes, Lord God, any thoughts, any ways of thinking, Father, that are just passed through the generations, Lord God. And Father, we say in the name of Jesus, devil, the Lord rebuke you. And Father, I pray for your people, Lord God, that from this day forward, Lord God, we put a stop, Lord God. We put a stop to these things, Father, coming and destroying our families. And Lord, I just pray that from this day forward, Lord God, that it would change the trajectory of our families. It would change the trajectory of our lives. Because we change the way that we speak. And because you have come that we might have life and life more abundantly today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Should we get them to work some more? No, thank you very much. Please put your hands together for them. So what we've done, to be quite honest, is very scary. We obviously had a plan. We're just going to do normal church. And this is scary because we're supposed to be finishing in 15 minutes. I do think yesterday, I felt, you know, the Lord just impress upon my heart. And I just get impressions. Ooh, okay. And then I get a groove, and then I just start to, you know, just go with that. And I just sense this thing of God just wanting to release people from stuff that has happened so that when new stuff happens, we're not triggered by those things because it causes just turmoil in our lives. And I was in a situation where I just, let me be disciplined, but I had a tough week, very tough. And I felt like I was under siege. Not of anybody's doing. I just felt under siege on the outwardly, very calm. But what was happening inside, I could feel the cortisol coursing through my veins. And that's not good. And so I then just say, Lord, what is it? And it was just a thought of a conversation I had many years ago, you know, with an uncle of mine who just whispered some things, you know, and it was just not good things. And the betrayal that I felt, and I recognize that here I am responding, but this is, I'm responding to something that has happened now, but it can't be just about the now. It was just about things that happened many, many years ago. And so I think just we need that freedom in our lives where we recognize that the enemy does, you know, things happen in life. The enemy does come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you have to understand that Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. God does not want us to be dragging the ball and chain. Because guess what? We are always reflecting back on the things that have happened to us, and we cannot be free to embrace the life that God wants us to live. And this is why it's important that we get the word of God in our lives and we're constantly soft to the Lord and say, Lord, if there's anything that's within me, you know, show me and lead me in the way everlasting. But I want to say that God is very good with us and God is very gentle, is that situations might arise. In fact, 5 years ago, I was faced in the same situations. I didn't know. I didn't go through that process of asking the Lord, God, what's up? It's just that this time I did it and boom, a whole lot of stuff. And just this thing, you know, when you feel, I remember praying that God would outroot that particular issue. And then it's like, now it's the Prince of Peace. Lord, your peace. Your peace, and I just embrace your peace, that your peace would come over my life. So the Lord is very desirous for relationship with us. And I just want us to be those people that are open to what it is that the Lord wants to do in our lives and know that he cares for us and that, as we heard this morning, that he sees us and we are significant in his eyes. Amen. So anyway, you come today. Today is the... what's the day today? The 28th of May, 2023. Why did I ask that? Just for conversation. And so we're here today. We're supposed to be starting a series which is going to go for 10 weeks, but it's going to be broken up throughout the year. We then might get to finish it next year. And so this is the series we're doing is the 10 commandments or suggestions. Are they commandments or suggestions for our lives? And this is really inspired by a book by J. John called Just 10, where he's talking about the 10 commandments, you know, that the Lord gave to the children of Israel many years ago. And so I welcome all our guests and to all our church family. This is what you can expect when you come to C3 Fremantle and Kwinana, that you come in the morning, you're going to get worship. You're going to be welcomed at the door. You're going to come in. You're going to experience worship. And what we want everybody to understand is that worship is not a spectator sport. We come ready to bring our worship. So by the time we come, we're ready. We're just sort of like saying, okay, guys, let's get to it. We're ready to bring our worship. Because when we do that, when we come with our hearts prepared and ready, guess what? We start to interact and to feel differently as the Lord begins to move. You will begin to encounter the Lord. Then some Sundays, like today, we had a message planned. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Things happen. We feel sense, we sense some things that God wants to do. And that is, you know, God has given us the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. And so they might be exercised, those gifts. They might be, today we had a gift of healing, just some words to break over people's lives. And so you can expect that. And it's not going to be spooky, hocus pocus, you know, abracadabra stuff. It's just going to be genuine. You know, you're not going to feel weird about it. And then, of course, most importantly, you'll get the word of God. And this word will wash over your life and wash over your family's life. And as you begin to take that away and say, Lord, what is it that you want to do in my life? God will begin to do something. So last week we had Pastor Cherry Schroeder, and I'm going to go. This is condensed, so forgive me. But you know what I'm going to do? I said to the guys that are speaking that I will lay the groundwork today. And if I don't get to the first commandment or the one we're going to talk to today, they're going to have to do it next week. So poor Andrew, you know. Andrew Baker is going to be speaking next week. And so they'll just have to carry on from where I left off. So we had Pastor Cherry Schroeder last week, and that was really good. Amen? Next week, Sunday, at the Queen Anna service, we have Peter Robertson. And I'm going to ask, I know that you will have, you've already come to church, you'll have done your bit, because we're here at 9 a.m., and then straight afterwards, we're at Queen Anna. We are blessed to have this man speaking in our church when the opportunity has, because the opportunity arose. He can't do Fremantle, because his wife is speaking at Victory Life, but they could do Queen Anna. And so I'm just going to ask if you could come for the service, enjoy Andrew Baker here, and then at 11 a.m., just say to your family, we are going for an outing. Go for an outing in Queen Anna, you know, so that we can just experience what it is like to worship, because he will be speaking around worship, because that is his gifting. And so I'm very excited to hear what he's going to say to us. You guys have been really good and patient this morning. Thank you for that. So, Ten Commandments, perhaps you've heard them. The question is, are they still important? So you'll find them in the Old Testament. So this is the part of the Bible that tells us what God did before Jesus Christ came into the world. And so you'll find them in two places, Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. So in chapter 20, they lay out what the commandments are. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses is just reiterating the same message to the children of Israel of what God said. And so they were given many, many centuries ago. And the question, I guess, for us today, are the Ten Commandments still valid? And would our lives and our world be better if we followed them? And so God gave the Ten Commandments for the personal well-being of his people. Because he said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, he says, God said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so he redeems his people and he brings them out of slavery. And now that they are out on their own, he was giving them rules that would govern their lives. We know that a nation has to have, for a nation to exist, there's three important things. It has to have a common people, which a common land, and a common law or constitution. So God had already given the Israelites a common people when he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. They were headed to their common land, the land of Canaan. You need some land. You need so that you can, this is our land. So they needed, so the Lord said, yep, Canaan, that's their land. But what they needed to bind them together was a constitution and or a law. And so that's what we find in the beginning of Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17. So look, I'm just going to paraphrase. It says, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. And then he begins to list what the Ten Commandments were. So fast forward, he lists all of them. And then in verse 17, he says, you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. So he says all these things, you shall love the Lord your God, lists all of them. Sorry, we can read, you can read them. Now, we have to understand that, you know, it's such an interesting passage, starting from Exodus chapter 19 up until 20-something, because it really begins to talk about this law that God gave, which would call the basic principles. These are the first things, the Ten Commandments. And then afterwards, throughout the chapter, what actually happens is that they are now telling us about other laws, which are essentially the application of the principles to specific circumstances. So you might find a situation which says that if a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is hurt or dies, he shall make full restitution. So, but this is based on the Ten Commandments. And we know that most of our laws are based, they come from the Ten Commandments, which is about how we deal with God and how we deal with other people. And so God was very smart. And so I guess the question is that the laws, they fall into three loose categories. So commandments 1-4 tell us to hold God above all others as the only one worthy of our worship and reverence. 5-8, they address some basic personal values and behavior choices. And then 9 and 10 deal with our treatment of neighbors and friends. So God is very, you know, he's genius in how he's set this thing all up. But then there's 4 and 5, which are most of the commandments, 8 of them are presented in a negative way. But there's 2 that say, law 4 and 5, it says, remember, and then it says, honor your parents. Everything else starts off in a, you know, negative, you shall not. And so I guess, why are there 10 commandments? Why couldn't there have been 12? In Scripture, the number 10 appears several times throughout the Old Testament, and it's been said to be used in a literally way to represent completion, order, and wholeness. And so God is saying, y'all need just these 10. Everything else is a derivative of these 10. There is completion. So even when they took when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, there were 10 plagues. Bang, complete. I took you out, I brought 10 plagues in, and I completed the fact that you were no longer slaves, and I took you out. So that's what the number 10 would represent, that God is saying, this is a complete set of all you will need to live a right and moral life, if we choose to do so. And so why did he give them? These are just a list of rules for the basis for righteous living. And I guess his goal was just to reach beyond blind obedience. But the commandments were meant to be a loving gift to the people he called his own. He wanted to give them guidelines to follow as they entered and conquered the land. Because guess what God knew? He knew that men could easily be strayed. And so he was saying, here are some guidelines that can help you navigate clear boundaries that you can follow in your life. We understand that as he gave us those commandments, they actually reveal God's character. When he says, honor your mother and father, this commandment reveals God's value of family and the importance of showing respect and obedience to parents. It's revealing his character. You know, it says that you shall not murder, because it reveals God's value of human life and his desire that we should not take the life of another. That's what he values. That shows you his character. You shall not commit adultery, because he says God's desire for sexual purity and faithfulness, because he's faithful. So he's just telling us, don't do this. But it just reveals, so rather than us look at it from a negative perspective, it just shows us the character of who God is. And so the point they meet with God in Exodus chapter 19 at Mount Sinai, he promised that, you know, when Moses got the burning bush, It was at Mount Sinai, and he says, you will bring the people back to worship me at this mountain. In Exodus 19:6, they come to the mountain, just as God promised Moses that he would. And when they get there, guess who shows up? God shows up. Because when God shows up in our lives, the point of him showing up is to start a relationship with his people through a covenant. That's why God showed up. Because he wants to start a relationship with his people. Jesus came down to earth just like God came down to Sinai. I'll just get the team back up and then we clock this over. So imagine if we lived our lives treating the Ten Commandments as suggestions. If God would have wanted us, this is Zig Ziglar says, if God would have wanted us to live in a permissive society, he would have given us 10 suggestions and not 10 commandments. So imagine if we live our lives treating the commandments as suggestions. You know, it says, you shall covet. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. You shall not covet. And covet means to desire or want. And it's actually not a bad thing. God wants us to be aspirational people. So, of course, we can covet. You know, you shall covet. So I'll covet that I want a car. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to work hard. I want a wife. So I'm going to find some women to speak to. So I can get a wife. A donkey. We don't have donkeys. We've got vehicles. You know, that's why there's horsepowers in cars. And so if we want stuff, it's actually a good thing to desire something. And that's not what God is saying. So he is saying to us, it's okay for you to desire things. But what he doesn't want us to do and what he's against is when we desire somebody else's stuff because of what it causes us to do in our lives. And so you shall not covet. So it means to desire or want. But it's really, I desire something that belongs to someone else. And so it might be, which is the easiest thing to pick on. You see a man that has got a beautiful wife and you're like, I want that girl. Or you see guys with cars. And guess what you do? I think I want that car, but I want it badly. And you start to hate on that other person because of what they got. And I can confess many years ago in Alice Springs, where I've had issues in my own life about coveting, has always been around desiring leadership and success. And I recall one of my friends, Bruce, he got to get a speaking gig in church before I did. And I kind of felt very green with envy. I just felt real jealous. And that's for me, you know, like, it's like, oh, I want that. But I had to own it and actually say, actually, I don't have a problem with Bruce. Lord, I'm happy for him. Because it was really bothering me. You know when something really gristles at you? Why did they give him that? Why wasn't it me? But I had to say, Lord, you know, just forgive me because I care for my brother and I don't want to feel the way that I'm feeling. And so why is coveting dangerous? So imagine if it was okay, it was a suggestion. Yeah, now you can covet whatever you want. Yeah, you shall covet. Do it. It's dangerous because it can cause you to become consumed with envy, which leads to bitterness, hatred, and anger. If you covet something that someone has, you will never be satisfied with what you have because there will always be something else that you think is better. And so you're not happy with yourself and with your life. What it will do for you if you covet, you will begin to bear false witness, which could lead to stealing or other illegal actions. Perhaps you could take drastic actions to say, you know what? I really want that car. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to kill Charlie to get his car. You know? And then I take, because I just can't have it, I want to take it from somebody else. It causes problems in my relationship because I will constantly be comparing myself with other people. This has a resentment in my life. This will cause arguments in my relationship with my spouse. Because maybe somebody, you know, especially when you're married, when you're married, somebody does significantly better than the other. You know, that's just life. It's quite easy to become a bit resentful about that. Because it causes arguments between spouses and friends over money and possessions. When I underlined in my Bible this verse about coveting, I just said stuff. The desire for stuff is not bad. It's what it causes us to do. If we are not to, if we take this as just as a suggestion, we will run our lives ragged because of coveting. We will always be doing things that go against our values and our principles. And what I look at the Ten Commandments is like this. They are decisions that you have to make before you need to make a decision. So there will always be opportunities that will come your way to covet. There'll always be opportunities that will come your way to steal. But because you say, this is what I believe in, when the opportunity comes, you're not having to think about it. You know why? Because you've already thought about it. You say that I got married to Unami, she's not here today because she's unwell. So when the opportunity comes for committing adultery, I don't have to think about it. I mean, she might be the super attractive other lady, but guess what? I'm not going to have to think through it. Should I? Shouldn't I? Because I've already made a decision that I'm not going to do it. So the commandments are decisions before you need to make a decision. So the decision is already made. So when you covet someone else's possessions or accomplishments, you are putting yourself in a place where the devil can begin to manipulate you. And guess what? You know, he may give you the things, he'll give you those things, but the cost will be far more significant than anything God would allow him to take from you. And so as we stand this morning, coveting, it's a great thing to desire. Covet your own stuff. You know, someone said to me that if you want to live a very successful life, three things you need to do. Read your Bible. The second thing, sleep with your own wife. Or husband, yes. And the third thing is spend your own money. Obedience comes with a reward. And as we finish this morning, it's by our obedience to God's word that the abundance comes in our life. And I want us to end this morning with just this promise from God in Proverbs 3:1-4. My sons and daughters, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you have given us desires. You've put this thing in us, Lord God, that desire stuff. And it's okay for us to desire. But Lord, I just pray, Father, that we would allow your word to wash over us and that we would check ourselves, Lord God, against the standard of your word in our lives. You love us, Lord God. You came with these commandments to build relationship with us. And of course, to point us to the way that none of us, Lord God, can keep these commandments. And this is why we need a Savior. And we thank you that you sent Jesus, who fulfilled the law. Oh. And so, God, we thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory this morning. I thank you for your people, that as they leave this place, Lord God, that you have come. And because you have come to give them life, and let your life flow through their lives, that they might live abundant lives in Jesus' mighty name. Bless your people, I pray. Amen.